Summa Up is next-gen body optimization from an actual doctor that's guaranteed to get you in the best shape of your life in 90 days. You'll be at peak levels for each of the fundamentals that drive your strength, energy, and even your longevity. It's a lifelong difference you'll see in the mirror, but also feel throughout your entire day. Summa Up puts more living in life. For full details on this transformative program designed for the demanding lives of today's highest achieving entrepreneurs and CEOs, visit www.startsumma.com.
All right, it's JD here, co-founder of Summa Up, with my co-host, Stephanie, who is our CPO. And we are going to give you some tips on how to stop the fear of failure from taking over your business and your life. You know, Stephanie, when I got into the world of high finance, the growth equity world, one thing I had as a fear when I just started at the firm was I felt like I was going to get fired the next week, right? It made me feel like I was back in high school, right? And I was trying to walk on to a college sports team. It made me feel like when I got waitlisted, right, at MIT, I was like, am I going to get in, right? And before I got that role, I had gotten to 20 final rounds with venture firms, venture capital, hedge funds, growth equity firms, and got rejected, right? And so I was the only person in my class that year, they didn't have a job, right? I graduated without anything. You know, I was just like, whoa, I got my foot in the door barely. I got, you know, this offer off cycle. And my problem was like, I need to do something, right? I needed to make an investment. I needed to do something. Otherwise they're going to get rid of me. Right. And so I've always been an outsider. And I think that first week, that first month, that really just emphasized, can I make it? You know, can I make it? And I just had this total fear that I frankly just didn't belong, right? And you know, I was just one decision, one investment memo, one meeting away from them being like, hey, so wrong name. You weren't meant to get the offer. Like you need to leave, right? So
what did you do? How did you handle that?
Yeah. So I think for me, this sounds super weird. My approach to it was I cold emailed every single, this is funny. I cold emailed every single person that got fired from the firm or I was asked to leave in the past 2 years. And I bought them lunch or coffee or whatever. And these people, most of the guys were like, what are you talking to me about? Right. And I picked their brain on effectively what they would have told themselves or what they would have done differently. And I sought them out and more of their mistakes they made. And it was super, super odd. And I think through that journey and that process, I discovered that really it's like really important to find a mentor, find somebody that is a step or a year, 2 years. If you're a business owner, founder, like, you know, is that the next kick of revenue top line? So 10 million plus, if you're, you know, still making seven figures. Right. And so that was that biggest crystallization. Right. And just like finding somebody, kind of an expert that's ahead of the curve and like actually listening to them and be like, okay, just do that. And, you know, does that kind of remind you of kind of your start or?
I mean, having a mentor is kind of like having the ability to learn from someone else's mistakes before you have the opportunity to make them. Founding a business that's service oriented. I definitely experienced that when you're trying to communicate your offering to clients, even if you know that you have something that can really, really change the way that they operate, the way that they run their business, the way that their day-to-day operations go, it was important for me to kind of become aware of the offering that I was making, the value I was adding. I think that my problem was kind of what a lot of business owners have starting out is the imposter syndrome. When I started my service company 10 plus years ago, I started out by creating ads on Craigslist.
Wow, that was your hack? That was your virtual hack?
That was my way in. And of course, at this point, I had no idea what I was doing. So I just taught myself. And the way that I did that was just by kind of doing and trying new things and iterating on that. And my experience and something that like, I like the question that you were asking, what would you do differently? If I could speak to 10 years ago me, I would say, be confident in what you're offering because it's valuable and communicate that offering with the same confidence that you have knowing the value that it adds to someone's business. And
that's an interesting point. So what did you do though, to get over that original fear, like that hump, right? You put us to those Craigslist ads, you didn't have clients, but you had an offering. Like how did
I implemented for my clients. I would kind of, they would ask me, you know, can you do this? Can you do this? And I would teach myself how, and then I would see the results of that. So I would see,
reps.
I would see what works and I would learn more about why it works. Well, why doesn't this work? And of course I was not very picky at the time with my clients. So it was a little bit difficult to have a healthy like cadence with some of these clients and work in a way that was good for me.
trial by fire sort of deal, right? Yeah. Really in this business world, you're trying to find and attract and retain customers or clients. And that's like the name of the game, but you want to find, attract, retain the right customers and clients, right? And that's part of the challenge. And it makes me think that it's almost that you needed to get on this journey and be almost self-aware of the steps, right? Like you have to take steps, right? And just start moving on those steps. Yeah. If it takes 10,000, 5,000, like just do something, right? Post an ad, right?
Cold call somebody,
right? Meet them in person, go to this, you know, chamber of commerce in-person meeting where no one looks like you and they're way older. They're just, they don't speak, you know, computer science or programming or Java. Yeah. Like we speak, right? Or from my background, C#. But at the same time, just pushing yourself forward. And it makes me think of a story when I met a few founders. Like we used to go through different founders, not to name drop here, but founder of Airbnb, WhatsApp, Peloton, right? We used to meet these guys. And one of the mentors at the firm asked them, like, so what is the commonality between finding like great founders, right? And I asked a question. And this guy just looked at me, right? He's a total maven, like he's a pro. He looked at me, didn't say anything. He said two words: unquenchable thirst. And I was like, what? Unquenchable thirst, right? And it's, in retrospect, it's like that desperation that kind of, I feel, drives, you know, you as a person. But when you're desperate, right, you're willing to do anything and everything. Yeah. That's super interesting that you kind of had that idea of posting on Craigslist. Very innovative, right? On Craigslist next to all the dating ads and all the...
Oh, my God. Yeah. And, you know, if I'd known what I knew now, I would probably do things a bit differently. But it's kind of like, I think often about that Elon Musk quote, which is starting a business is like eating glass and staring into the abyss. Or something. You know, like at that point, I didn't have, you know, a strong support structure. I didn't have a strong network. So I, like you said, I just had that unquenchable thirst to do something differently. I mean, I know it would have been easier to pursue a job as an employee, but I felt like the value that I could offer would be greater if I started something independently, if I did my own thing. So that's why I pursued it. And then I continued and tried new things. So.
Yeah. And I think it kind of makes you think back to the story of just like chasing down these guys and emailing them, LinkedIn them, and meeting them in person. One of the lessons I learned was sometimes the people that don't make it or had a huge massive failure can teach you better, right? Sometimes the stars are, you know, not as good of a teacher as people that have had big mistakes, major failures. Mm-hmm. And I kind of say this to illustrate a point. I think of Steve Kerr, who's the coach of Golden State Warriors, right? I think he's a far better coach than, for example, Michael Jordan was at the Wizards or on the Bobcats, or far better coach, right? And then sometimes they can give you this advice. And one of the stories that I learned from one of the guys that was asked to leave, and now he's a wildly successful entrepreneur, right? Not a good investor, but great entrepreneur. Interesting, right? How that works was he's like, you are going to take steps, right? He told me this theory. Like he said, listen, for me to found this successful business, he's a nine-figure e-com entrepreneur. It's going to take 5,000 steps, right? I need to find a developer. I need to find a Shopify expert. I need to find a teammate, a co-founder. It's going to take these different steps, right? I need to find a product. I need to, you know, find a direct-to-consumer like marketing expert, right? You have to just do the work, right? And so he thought about it as like you're climbing a mountain, and to climb a mountain to go to any kind of peak, you had to take 5,000, 10,000 steps. And so he's like, don't quit when you're in the middle of the journey. Realize it's going to take 5,000 steps, right? And realize 10,000 or 20,000. And that's probably something that I really kind of took in the heart, right? And so when you do anything, you're going to suck, right? In the beginning, and then you'll suck less, and then you'll get better and better, and you'll get those reps in. And I think that was really kind of the key takeaway. And funny and interestingly enough, one of the mentors I found actually knew of Dr. Ryan, and they were working with Dr. Ryan for a therapeutic piece on longevity medicine and diagnostic testing. And that's how I actually came across Dr. Ryan too. And so that point of finding somebody who's ahead of you, like it could be like a tax advisor. It could be a consultant that leads to help you with like managing your schedule or your time, or UX, UX, UI advisor. For Dr. Ryan, it was like a specialist that actually knew how to kind of work around an entrepreneur's schedule, how to help you sleep better, hydrate, like the basics, nail the basics, behavioral aspects, but also add data with the blood testing and the diagnostics to make sure like, hey, like this guy's like progressing, right? He's, you know, metabolically sound, or alternatively, this is his key deficiency, vitamin D, or he has renal fatigue and so forth, right? But finding that expert really kind of helped me out, and hate to admit it, but like just being like, hey, I need help, right? Just raising your hand and admitting. One question I have for you, right? How many posts did you do before you got your first job? on Craigslist?
On Craigslist? Oh gosh, I can't remember. It was probably a handful. When you're doing something like that, you get people who are asking you for like free work or, you know, like it's something that's not, that wouldn't, you know, even mathematically be worth the time, but you have to, you know, build a portfolio, at least in my business.
I think it's interesting because it's always so easy for us to go back in time and say, I wish I did this, I wish I did that, and replay it, right? But knowing what you know now, like, what would you tell Stephanie 12 years ago, right? What feedback, what coaching would you give her to like compress the time, right?
Do more and maybe think less. More of like a mathematically oriented brain. So I like looking at data and planning things out very specifically and doing things in a very organized way. I think that's important. That's definitely served me well in a lot of ways, but there needs to be a balance of planning versus doing. And so do more and try more and be open to failing.
Yeah, stumbling and failing. And
you're going to spend money on ads that end up failing, or you're gonna make bad investments,
and you know the partnership's gonna be like, well, who is this guy again, right? And you're gonna write a memo and there's gonna be a few typos on it, or you're gonna say a few things during the meetings, and it's really just kind of like getting your reps out and just kind of, you know, stumbling across the steps and understanding, hey, look, you know, I don't have to have all the answers, right? And I think it's really just doing the things that others aren't willing to do. That's also another key takeaway of getting over this fear. I still think today, even, you know, being a co-founder, I'm like, oh gosh, you know, are these guys going to be like, hey, this guy doesn't know anything. Like, what is he doing? Right. You know, are they going to throw me out? Like, I still have that fear, mm-hmm. but I help control it, I guess, through, you know, we have coaches as well and advisors and on board that kind of help guide the cadence of our plans and our quarterly tracking and so forth. I think it's really just kind of getting out of your head and, you know, getting out of the analysis process. This can go wrong. That can go wrong. This can go wrong. Like as a business owner, entrepreneur, and just doing it. Right. And like making the mistakes and be like, you know what? I'm going to own those and get better. You were in a position to adapt and be tenacious, if I can hear that correctly. Right. Just working through, you said like a school, you're hustling through school, right? You're posting these ads. You're working a part-time job as a restaurant, if I remember. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I was actually working. Yeah. I was working at a restaurant, and of course, working in the service industry, you get the brunt of everyone's bad day.
Exactly. And, frontline workers are struggling.
Yeah. But, and then, you know, I was developing software development as a hobby, and I just kind of decided that I could provide more value by implementing this in different ways to help businesses. I recognized, you know, a skill I had, and I felt like I could apply it best by offering it directly to business owners. So I recognized, you know, that the skill I had could be helpful. And then I just kind of pushed through until I figured out the right things that I needed to do to reach the people who I would be able to help best. And so that's kind of like a very condensed version of it.
Of the journey, right? The highlight reel.
And it's like what you were saying about the journey of 5,000 steps. I would be really amazed if you could point me to like any business that has succeeded without having any challenges. I mean, there's always going to be a series of challenges of varying, you know, intensities that any business is going to face. And the tenacity is kind of the key differentiator in business owners. I mean, I've spoken with people who've said, I tried to start a business in your field.
Right.
It didn't work.
Yeah. You know, it's like, don't do
but
that.
You gave up. I mean, you just stopped. You started doing something different.
You were midway through the mountain and the peak was right there. Right.
Yeah. And you can't see, I mean, you can't see beyond where you are, you know, when you're in that kind of situation. Sometimes it feels like eating glass and staring into the abyss.
Yeah. I mean, I still wake up because I have this outsider mindset. I still wake up and I still have to control myself. I think for me personally, it's just those weekly accountability sessions with an expert or a mentor, like who's a step or a year or 10 years, like 5 years ahead of me. Right. That really helps. I think that's a solution. And then just internalizing it, right? We're on a journey. Everyone wants to be overnight success stories, right? But I like to drop this line, like everyone who's successful, you know, today is like a 40-year, 30-year, 20-year overnight success story, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really just like starting the journey. And the best way to get over is like that I guess that fear of not belonging, imposter syndrome, whatever they call it, is just start your journey, you know, put the work in, get your reps in, and, you know, get out of that job that you didn't like, right? And just have a F this moment and just go. I guess I'm still thinking about the unquenchable thirst aspect, right? I don't know how to kind of emphasize that, right? My lessons are just default optimism and really thinking about kind of that idea of a mentor. Mentors can expire too, right? Like as you go up the next kick, next level, you'll find more problems, different problems that you need experts for, right? That are different, right? And what got you here won't get you there. It's a really fascinating time we live in terms of technology and so forth. But yeah, I think the biggest piece is if you don't put the elbow grease or the hard work in or the steps or the reps, right, it's tough to accomplish anything great.
Yeah, definitely. You need to have that motivation.
That there's right. So that's all for this week. We will catch you on next week's episode of Uber Human Secrets. JD here with Stephanie, and we will talk to you soon.